If disaster strikes tomorrow, are you financially prepared today? You know, whether your area is prone to hurricanes, earthquakes, wildfires, or tornadoes, you need to make sure that you have the right type and amount of insurance for any catastrophe. To find out how to be smart and protect yourself during these disasters, I've invited Dr. Robert Hartwig, president of the Insurance Information Institute, to join me. Welcome, Dr. Hartwig.
Hey, glad to be here, Steve.
So before we begin, tell us what the Insurance Institute is and who it serves.
The Insurance Information Institute is a nonprofit, a property casualty insurance trade association. It is supported by the insurance industry, but we're here to make sure that everybody, whether it's consumers, drivers, homeowners, businesses, have the right insurance in the right amount.
Okay. So the Institute has come out with a 5-point checklist, plus they also offer local information on disaster risks and insurance coverage and deductibles and the like. Your material makes the point that we can be lulled into thinking that we don't have to prepare for mild hurricanes, for example, but some of the biggest storms have come from these mild storms. Tell us about that.
Well, that's right. If you actually go back to 1992, in late August, we had Hurricane Andrew. The storm began with an A, so it was the first storm of the year, and it was the most expensive disaster in world history, in natural disaster, until we got to Hurricane Katrina.
Yeah.
So, pretty important event. But, you know, to be prepared for events like that, Steve, we really have this 5-point checklist, and it's something that people can complete very quickly. All you need to do is, point number one, pull out your policy and take a look at that policy, and if there's anything in it you don't understand, give your agent a call or give your company a call.
Mm-hmm.
Many people say they have trouble understanding their policy, so we want to make sure you know what's in it. And you want to make sure that you have all the coverages that you need. A standard homeowner's insurance policy doesn't cover you for flood or earthquake, so depending on where you live, you may need one or both of those policies. Particularly with respect to flood, you need to get that policy into place right away because it's 30 days before it actually takes effect.
All right, so
very important.
Let's back up here a little bit. So I know that when I go and look at my insurance policy, there's a lot of technical language. And yes, there usually is a little bit of a dictionary there describing some of the language. But I think for the layperson, it's very hard to understand. So what are some of the key features of a standard home insurance policy that I should expect? And then what is really excluded when it comes to these special situations?
Well, what you want to focus on is you want to look at the limits of your coverage. Do you have enough coverage? This is all going to be on the front page of your policy, so you can really focus on these things. You may have made some improvements to your home over the years, but didn't let your insurer or your agent know about that, so you might not have enough coverage in order to repair or rebuild if your home is severely damaged or destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
Also on the front page, you're going to see your deductible. Okay, your deductible is typically going to be a fixed dollar amount, maybe $500 or $1,000. A, make sure you can afford that. And then B, you may have a different deductible in the event of something like a hurricane. It's more likely going to be something like 2% or 3%. So it's a percentage deductible, and it's a percent of the insured value of your home. So if you have a $500 deductible for your standard homeowner's insurance policy, but your home is instead damaged or destroyed by a hurricane, it's going to be, say, 2% of the value of the home. So you want to make sure you understand that and you have the money to be able to handle your out-of-pocket costs.
You know, we talk about storms starting off mildly. Once I was looking at the storm that had crossed where I live, which is South Florida, and there was one year, I think it was 04, where one storm, which really didn't do anything here, was Katrina. So here's Katrina, you know, with all the damage that it did in New Orleans. But in South Florida, we actually got the early taste of it, and it hit our state and then veered on and through the Gulf. So I know one of the lessons to be learned is make sure that if you're following storms, even if they're mild, to get prepared and expect the worst. I think even Sandy up north started off as a mild storm, didn't it?
It did. Sandy was a big surprise, and a few years ago in Florida, even Wilma was a pretty big surprise.
Mm-hmm.
And to help you with that, we have free software on our website, such as our Know Your Stuff home inventory software, and you can also get that off of iTunes absolutely for free. And that'll help you take an inventory of all your possessions. The information is stored out in the cloud. It's safe and secure. That'll help you have the information you need in order to expedite the claims process in the event you do have damage to your home.
What is that website again, or that app?
On the Insurance Information Institute's website at iii.org, our software is called Know Your Stuff, and it's a free home inventory software.
Okay.
And you can also get it off the iTunes store for free. So just go on iTunes.com and type in Insurance Information Institute, and you'll find that software.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Know Your Stuff software and other software we produce as well.
All right. So how do you actually calculate the amount that you'll need? Let's put disaster insurance aside for a moment. You buy a house, it's $500,000, but part of that purchase is the land. Part of it is the actual structure itself. Give us some thumbnail sketch of what factors to use to get the right amount of insurance.
Right. Your insurer is basically going to look at the square footage of your home. It's going to look at the type of construction of your home. Is it masonry? Is it wood? These sorts of things. Does it have an attic? Does it have a basement? What sort of appliances are in it? Its age and a variety of other factors. But of course, it all boils down in some sense to size, and then everything flows from there. If you have a home that has special features in it, such as, say, very expensive moldings or other sorts of touches that have been added over the years, very expensive, say, antique floorings, what have you, the insurer will come in and it'll do an evaluation of your home. And the insurer may do this anyway as a matter of routine and take a look around and estimate how much the home is worth. And also, you have to remember that your homeowner's insurance coverage is going to cover you for the contents of your home as well. And while usually what you receive is more than enough to purchase new content, again, if you have any special collectible items like artwork or antique collections, you want to make sure you declare those specifically to the insurer so that they can be separately insured, because there are going to be some sublimits for these sort of collectible and very expensive type of items that wouldn't be typical in most homes.
My guest is Dr. Hartwig. He works with the Insurance Information Institute, and we're talking about insuring your home today. Dr. Hartwig, we know that homes are rated with regards to flood zones. So there's a way that the insurer knows whether you're actually more susceptible to flooding than in one area versus another. But do you think it's also a good idea to consider getting flood insurance even if you're not in a flood zone?
I think that particularly in some parts of the country, such as Florida and just about anywhere on the coast, or if you live anywhere near a river or a lake, even if flooding is not even known in your area, you should consider buying flood coverage. It'll be very inexpensive if you're out of the flood zone. If you're unsure if you're in a flood zone or not, you can go to floodsmart.gov. That's the National Flood Insurance Program's website, and you can type in your address and it'll let you know. But absolutely, it costs relatively little, and this includes if you're a renter. If you happen to live in an apartment and you're on the ground floor or maybe only on the second floor or in a basement apartment in some parts of the country, you want to investigate this as well. You can sometimes get it for just a few dollars a month.
What kind of conditions are needed to trigger these special policies for hurricane or a wind deductible or some of these other policies? Because we're not even really talking about wildfires and earthquakes. What does it really take in order for these policies to trigger?
Right. For something like a hurricane deductible to be triggered, you need the official definition that is in your policy to be met. And that typically involves a declaration of a hurricane warning or watch within a certain distance of your home. It could involve a certain sustained wind speed being recorded within a certain distance of your home. So typically it's going to be an objective measure of wind speed or intensity of a storm that is going to trigger the deductible. So for a certain number of hours, maybe 24 to 48 hours, maybe 72 hours in the wake of the declaration, then any losses occurring in the home will then fall under that hurricane deductible.
So it really has to be established as a hurricane by certain objective standards.
That's correct. Typically, there will have to be an official designation as a hurricane or a tropical storm per your policy, and that designation is not made by the insurer, it's made by NOAA.
We have a little less than a minute left. What is not covered by these home insurance policies?
The two largest exclusions from a homeowner's insurance policy are flood and earthquake. And again, anybody in a low-lying area, anybody in coastal areas should consider a flood policy. And then, of course, earthquake, which we've not talked too much about, particularly out in the West Coast, but parts of the Midwest around the New Madrid area of western Kentucky and Tennessee and eastern Missouri, southeastern Missouri, and a few other parts of the country as well. and there should be serious consideration given to earthquake policies there. Unfortunately, in California, only about 1 out of 10 homeowners actually have a earthquake policy today.
I suppose Oklahoma with fracking is probably going to be on that list pretty soon.
Right. There's some increase in activity in some parts of the country that some attribute to fracking activity. Fortunately, those don't seem to be a very large.
Exactly. My guest, Dr. Hardwick from the Insurance Information Institute. Thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure, Steve. Thank you.